As you can tell, we're having some technical problems. The sound team is working on that. We appreciate their efforts. They took the wireless mic down for the ladies' retreat last weekend. In the meantime, we had two new amplifiers installed into the sound system because one of them blew up. And when you detach things and mess around with them and put them back together, they don't always work the way they're supposed to. So we appreciate their efforts, and sorry for some of the noises that we're hearing this morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3 if you haven't done that already. And there is an outline on the back of the insert about the day of prayer, the National Day of Prayer. There's an insert that will follow the sermon in the PowerPoint. I invite you to use that if you find that helpful. We're looking this morning at Romans chapter 3, the passage we read, verses 19 through 24. Would you take a moment and pray with me? Let us focus our hearts. Lord, we come now to your word and we ask that your word would be life to us. We ask that by the Holy Spirit you will teach us. And we recognize the authority of the word in our lives. Your word is truth. So Lord, speak now. May our hearts be ready to hear and receive and obey your word. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Some of you are familiar with the story of the eagle and the turkeys. The baby eagle fell out of its nest and tumbled into the valley. It looked up and it saw a flock of turkeys nearby, and so it joined in with that flock of turkeys. And it stayed with them. And it grew up amidst that flock of turkeys. And although he looked a bit different, the eagle, this baby eagle, as it grew, it learned to waddle like a turkey. It learned to eat like a turkey. It learned to act like a turkey. It thought it was a turkey. Well, one day, this young eagle looked up into the sky and saw a beautiful eagle, an adult eagle, with its wings spread, soaring in the upper heights. And it said to itself, "Oh, I wish that I could fly like that. I would love to be able to do that." The turkeys all around him says, "You can't do that. You're a turkey. You have to stay on the ground with us." Well, the young eagle was sad about this, but he accepted what the other turkeys told him. Well, the next day, this young eagle, we thought he was a turkey, was outside and he looked up and he saw this adult eagle flying again. And he said, "Oh, I wish I could fly like that eagle." Well, this time the eagle saw him and came down closer to him and he said, "Come, soar with me." And the young eagle said, "I can't. I'm a turkey." And the eagle said, "You're not a turkey. You're an eagle. Spread your wings, flap them, and then soar into the atmosphere with me." Well, the young eagle did that. He began to flap his wings. He took off and the currents took up under his wings and he began to soar. The turkeys on the ground, they shouted out to him, "You can't do that. You need to stay here on the ground with us." And at this point, the young eagle said, "No, I don't. I'm not a turkey. I don't belong with you anymore. I'm an eagle. I'm going to be what God created me to be." A lot of times, we're like that young eagle. We think we're turkeys. And some of you are. What's that old saying? It's hard to soar with the eagles when you live with a bunch of turkeys. But seriously, sometimes we think like that young eagle. We think that we're a turkey. We live amidst turkeys. And we think that we're like them. We live amidst sinners. And we ourselves struggle at times with sin. And so we act like sinners. Rather than understanding that we are righteous. We are righteous. Because of what Christ has done for us, that He has justified us and given us His righteousness, we are righteous. Therefore, We are to live, and we can live, as God created us to be, the righteous of Christ. The main point that I want to share with us this morning is this, that grace has been given freely to us through faith in Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ, grace has been freely given to us, and it is ours. This grace justifies us. This grace makes us righteous before God when we start and all the way through our walk with Christ. Grace is ours. Let's read verses 22 and 23 again from chapter 3 of Romans. Paul writes to us, he says, "This righteousness from God, which does not come through the law or observing the law, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." When you have faith in Christ, you receive justification, you receive righteousness. It is given to us by grace. This grace is ours. I think the problem is, and let me try to just lay it out there for us, we don't really understand grace. We really don't understand grace. We always tried to add something to grace. Human nature being what it is, we always think that we have to earn or deserve something. We can just never really freely receive a gift. It makes us feel uncomfortable, doesn't it? Especially if you're a person that you tend to give to others a lot. But when it comes time for you to receive, someone tries to give you a gift, you're like, oh, no. And really, it's something to do with our pride. There's an aspect of our nature that we feel like we have to earn something. We can't be given something freely. We're not worth that. We need to earn it. We need to be worthy of it to receive something. We don't understand grace. When you come to Christ, when you have faith in Christ, you receive grace freely. And that grace is ours. And that grace starts us on this walk with Christ. And that grace sustains us all the way through our walk. We do not start with grace and then try to live out this life on our own strength, live out this life in Christ by following the law or doing good deeds or trying to do the best we can. That is not an understanding of grace. As I start out with this morning, let me ask the question. The first question really is, have you come to that place of putting your faith in Jesus Christ and receiving Him, inviting Him into your life to be your Savior, your Lord? Have you come to the place of recognizing your need for grace and receiving it through faith in Christ? We read just a moment ago, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I got to be honest with you. I hope you're way past the understanding that we all sin. I hope you're already past that. If you've been around here for any length of time, you know that we're very open and honest about the fact that we sin. All of us sin, including me. I'm not immune. I'm not on some pedestal. Just because I happen to be a preacher doesn't mean that I'm immune from sin. No. I hope you've come to that place to recognize that all of us have sinned. And it doesn't matter if you think you might have just a little bit of sin, or maybe you feel overwhelmed by a lot of sin, or maybe you just think, well, I'm a pretty good guy, or I'm a pretty good gal. I just have maybe a medium amount of sin, an average amount of sin, whatever that means. Often we say, well, you know, I'm not as bad as, you know, this person over here. I mean, you know, they've really been on the rough side of life, and you know, they've stolen, and they've robbed, and they've been in jail. And, well, I guess most of us, if we have been caught for the things that we have thought, if not done, we'd also be there as well. God, knowing all, has the right to separate every one of us from Him, because the soul that sins, we're told in Ezekiel, the soul that sins, it shall die. And all of us are guilty. So I hope you're past that place of of struggling with the idea that you're a sinner. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we come to that place of recognizing, I need to be forgiven of my sin. How do you receive forgiveness? Do you break out the prayer beads and say a bunch of prayers and expect that somehow forgiveness is going to come through a ritual? Or maybe you get on your knees and you grind them into the dirt and you get a whip and you flail yourself with self-punishment, whether it's figurative or literal, and you think somehow by doing this, forgiveness comes. Or have you come to the place of recognizing the gift of God is given freely to all who ask, and you will receive? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light." See, we have this beautiful opportunity to take off the heavy burden that we have upon ourselves, that we put upon ourselves, that everybody around us puts on us. We have an opportunity to take that heavy burden off and lay it down right there, and then we take up the yoke of Christ. Let this represent the yoke of Christ. It's easy and it's light. This represents Christ and His blood that covers me. And I could even say like this, it covers us completely. It covers every aspect of us. It covers us. And it's easy, it's light, it's not heavy. But I still have to take His yoke. You see, I can't just lay my yoke down, my burdens down, and just walk away uncovered. Because guess what? I'm going to sin again. In fact, before the day's out, I'm sure I'll do a few doozies. So we need a covering. We need a constant covering. And Jesus said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." All who fall short are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So have you come to Christ this morning? Have you come to that place of laying it down? I hope you have. This grace comes to us and we're justified on the basis of what Jesus has done. We read in verse 25, "God presented Him," that is Christ, "as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood." You know, I know sometimes we get lost with some of these big theological words. The word atonement simply means a covering. Jesus' blood becomes a covering over our sins. His blood covers our sins and we're forgiven. It's as if when God looks at us, He no longer sees us and our sin, but He sees His Son and His Son's blood covering us. Picture with me the scene of the heavenly courtroom. On the one part of the stage is the enemy, Satan, the accuser. The Scripture tells him that he is the accuser of God's people. He accuses us before God, it says. He points out our sin to us, as if we needed anybody to do that. On the other side is Jesus Christ, standing before God the Father, who is the judge, and we are standing in the middle. We are standing before God in judgment. And Satan says, "Look at this dirty, rotten sinner. Look what he has done. He is guilty. She is guilty. She is deserving of punishment, of death." And Father God looks at the book of life and the record of our lives and He says, "Yes, they are guilty." But all of a sudden, Jesus, the advocate, the one whose atonement covers us, He comes and He covers the book with His hand. He covers that record book with His hand, and the blood covers every aspect of the record of our sins. And the Father has but one verdict to say: not guilty. Forgiven. Covered by my Son's blood. That is what grace is all about. Understanding that I am justified freely on the basis of Christ's shed blood. When we understand that, we have to understand as well that grace justifies us. Grace actually makes us righteous. Christ gives us His righteousness. His Spirit comes into us and it justifies us and makes us righteous at the start and all the way through our walk. In other words, using the turkey analogy, He doesn't just change us from turkeys into eagles only for us to keep believing that we're still turkeys. No. No. He wants us to understand we truly are, by His grace, made into eagles, righteous ones, and then we can live out the way He has created us to be in a righteous way, a righteous life. Listen to me. Grace is ours. Grace enables us to start. Grace enables us to walk. Grace enables us to continue. And grace enables us to finish. We start with grace. And we finish with grace. While we may sin, we may still fail and fall, but we are under grace. We're not under law. Romans 6:14, and a couple chapters later, Paul says this, "Sin shall not be your master." No, because you are not under law, you are under grace. You see, sometimes we get stuck in that turkey thinking. We get stuck into thinking that we're sinners. And really, when you think about that, it's almost a slap in the face to God. It's saying to God, everything you've done to create me and to be a righteous one, I don't believe it. Lord, because I sin, I believe I'm a sinner. And so we act like sinners. We don't have much expectation about living a life that overcomes. We don't have much expectation that God could use me to encourage someone else. We get stuck in turkey thinking. What do I mean by this? Well, we come to Christ, but then we think the way that we are to follow Him, the way that we are to love Him and live for Him is we follow the law. We follow His commands. You see, if I can just follow these, you know, three or four commands, I'm doing pretty good. The problem is, we can't fulfill those commands. We can't follow those commands. You know, and when you're focused on that, it becomes a legalistic thing. And if you do start to do well in it, then you become arrogant, you become prideful, and you begin to look down on others that are struggling and can't do as well as you are doing. It's not about, in our own strength, trying to follow the set of commands, follow some preconceived idea of what God wants for us. No, it is living out of the grace that He has put into us, out of the newness of life that He has put into us, because we love Him. And we want to be like Him. Well, what happens in this? We might sin. We might fail. And what do we think? Well, I've sinned. I guess I'm still a sinner. I guess I'm just an old turkey, an old sinner. And we focus on the failure. And we allow the failure to define us. We allow the sin to define us. Instead of focusing on grace, and letting God's grace define us. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe yourself? Are you going to believe your flesh? Are you going to believe your own failure, that it defines you? Are you going to believe God's Word? When His Word says, you are the righteousness of Christ. You are. Either it's true or it's not. Either I'm going to believe it, I'm going to lay hold of it, or I won't. You have a choice. I have a choice. I am a righteous one under grace. Let me ask you a question, and this will really diagnose where you're at with your understanding of grace. When you fail, when you sin, just like I do, what do you focus on? You focus on the failure? You focus on how terrible you are? How you've screwed up again? How you've failed, Lord again? Or do you focus on the fact that, Lord, I may have failed, but I thank You that I'm forgiven. Your grace covers me. And I'm going to press on. I'm not giving up. And I'm not going back to that old way of life. This might be a little bump in the road, but I'm pressing on. Is that what you focus on? You focus on His grace? You see, that indicates to you what you're focused on, what your understanding of grace is. His grace is there for us. You think God gets mad at you every time you sin? We may get mad at ourselves. Our spouse might get mad at us. Our mom and dad might get mad at us. Our children might get mad at us when we sin. But God's not like that. God's not like that. He is perfect. He has poured out His wrath upon His Son so that He does not have to be mad at you and me. He loves us with perfect love. We start with grace, we walk in grace, and we finish with grace. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, explain it in a little bit different way. Karen Boones is going to read that for us.
You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you have heard?
That says it right there, doesn't it? Does God give you His Spirit? We know when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes within us, and that is how the grace of Christ is applied to us. Do you think that that happens, and then you walk on from there because you're a pretty good person, and you're doing the best you can, you're trying, Lord, I'm trying. You think that's how it works? Or do you understand that it's simply by believing the grace that He has for you and for me, it is by His grace that I'm going to walk, it is by His grace that I'm going to persevere, it's by His grace that when I fail, I can get up again and I can press on. We're eagles, not turkeys. We have to understand that and embrace it and accept it. When the Spirit of Christ applies the grace to our hearts and minds, He provides the grace, the ability to be forgiven, the ability to live and walk rightly, and He continues to provide this for us ongoingly because we are under grace, not under law. We are under grace, not under law. Well, Tom, that seems too easy. That seems like God is putting it at risk. What if we sin? Well, Paul already asked that question. In chapter 6, he said, should we sin so that grace may abound? In other words, hey, if we're under grace, I guess we can sin and get away with it. Well, in a sense, that's true. But he says, may it never be so. If you are free to serve the Lord, why would you choose to sin? May it never be, he says. Yes, I know that there is a risk when we preach about God's grace. But you know what? God is the one that created the risk. We think we have to help God out. Well, you know, you're saved by grace, but you know, you really need to follow the commands. You know, we get worried for people. We think that the Holy Spirit can't keep them. We think that we can do a better job than the Holy Spirit for them. Well, you know, you got to follow the Lord. You got to follow His commands. You can't be sinning. Boy, I wish we would take our own advice, wouldn't you? We should take our own advice. If we would worry about ourselves and provide an example, a loving, graceful example to those around us, we wouldn't need to be saying about those things. God doesn't need you as a watchdog. God does not need your help. He had those helpers. They were called Pharisees. And they built a fence around the law. They added laws to help you obey the law. Here's an example. So that you wouldn't break the law of keeping the Sabbath, you weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath, right? Well, they helped you understand what work is. You could walk about 30 steps from your house, and that wasn't work. But if you walked 31, that was work, and you've broken the Sabbath. See, hey, if I walk 30 paces from my house and I pick up that piece of debris, I'm not working. I'm not working. I'm not breaking the Sabbath. See, we want it defined for us. We want it laid out straight. We want to know where is the edge and I can get my feet right to the edge. Isn't that human nature? We just want, how close can I get? And God says, oh no. He says, I'm going to give you my Spirit, and He's going to take the laws and He's going to put them into your heart. Jeremiah chapter 31. After this, He says, I will make a new covenant with you, says the Lord, and I will write my laws upon your heart. I will place them in you. And so we live out of grace because we want to. We follow His commands, not because it's an external law, but because we want to love Him. We want to follow Him. We want to do those things that please Him. It comes from our heart, not some external set of rules and regulations. The law could do nothing to help us. I've used this illustration before. You're driving down the road on Route 50. And you're going about 68 miles an hour. Like me. You're breaking the law. And you see that speed limit sign posted there. And what does it say? Come on, don't act like you don't know it. 55, not 65, 55. You see that sign, and all of a sudden something's... And you look in the mirror to make sure the state trooper's not there. Right? I did this morning coming down, and there was a state trooper, had somebody pulled over, and I was like, phew, thank you, Lord, that I got grace this time. Because I was speeding to get here. I was running a little bit late. I won't tell you how fast I was going. Can that, the fact that you see that speed limit sign, can that speed limit sign make you want to do the speed limit? No. All it does is tell you what you're breaking. It's a law. It's telling you you've broken this law. It cannot enable me. It cannot help me to go slower. No, there has to be an internal motivation that I am going to go slower. And most of it's because we don't want to get a ticket. There is an internal motivation that has to come. That's the way it is with God's Spirit. He brings this internal motivation to me to want to follow His laws, to want to do those things which please Him, want to do those things which are good and helpful. He gives me strength so that I can love my neighbor. I can forgive my enemy. I can not retaliate to those who speak against me and misuse me and abuse me. What is grace? I'm going to go through this really quickly because we did this just a few weeks ago. What is grace? Grace is the undeserved favor and goodness of God towards us. We use the acronym GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. God gives us His riches, His goodness, His blessings at Christ's expense. 2 Corinthians 8:9 sums it up. It says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." God calls you rich. Now, He's not necessarily talking about money. He's talking there about you are rich in the blessings and the provision of God. Jesus Christ, who was rich, who had all things were His, He laid them down, He became poor, so that you and I could receive the gift of God and be rich. We are rich because we have His righteousness. We are rich because we have His grace. And so, as I close this morning, we not only begin our relationship with God through the grace of Christ, but we are maintained by grace. You and I do not maintain our grace. Understand me. We are maintained by grace. Even if you think you're a turkey, you're not. The fact of God's grace in your life is you are an eagle. Now, if you want to live like a turkey, you can do that. You can choose to live like a turkey. And you know what I'm talking about. God gives you freedom. I am free. And I can live in a way that will bring blessing and God's goodness and His favor into my life, or I can live in a way that will bring brokenness and separation from God, and it will bring destruction into my life. We are surrounded with all kinds of things that in and of themselves, they may not be intrinsically evil. Some people have asked me, well, Pastor, you know, I have a habit that I smoke cigarettes. Is that going to keep me out of heaven? I said, no, that'll probably get you there quicker, though. Someone else asked me, well, Pastor, is it wrong to drink alcohol? I said, no, but the Scripture says it's wrong to get drunk. Well, if I drink, am I sinning? Not necessarily, but if you drink, and the question you have to ask is, why am I drinking? And where's that line? Again, it's the line here. We want to get right up to the line. The problem is we just don't know when to stop, and we fall off. There's a lot of things in this life that in and of themselves are not necessarily bad or evil. But you have to ask the question, in the grace of the Lord, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I doing this? Am I doing this to bring blessings into my life, God's goodness, or am I bringing brokenness, destruction? We saw a beautiful car last night. What was it, a 59, 56 Buick, I believe? Fairlane, Ford Fairlane. Oh, that thing was beautiful. Unbelievable. I mean, it was restored and just, man, it looked nice. Anything wrong with having that car? No, not at all. But you know what? If that car becomes your idol, you'll bring destruction into your life. If you spend all your time and your focus and your energy on that, it'll bring destruction into your life. See, grace gives you freedom. You're free to choose how you're going to live. Are you going to live like an eagle, a righteous one? You're going to live in a way that God can bless you, and you're going to do it not because you have to, but because you want to. Grace gives us wisdom. Grace helps us understand that there are consequences to things. And grace enables us to live in a way that is a blessing rather than brokenness and destruction. I hope in these few minutes that we've taken together, it gives us a little bit of insight into grace. As we transition, we are going to celebrate communion this morning. And these communion elements represent grace to us. There is nothing that you or I did to deserve this. There's nothing that you or I did that enabled Jesus to say, Father, I'll go because such and such a person is such a good guy or a good girl, and I'll go and I'll sacrifice myself for them. No. Out of love for us, out of grace for us, Jesus came and sacrificed Himself. As we close, let me ask you this question. Are you living in this grace? Are you living in the grace that He has for you? Are you understanding that it is His grace that starts you, it's His grace that continues you, and His grace that sustains you all the way to the end? Let's pray. Father, we confess before You that our understanding of grace is so limited. Lord, as humans that constantly want to perform, we constantly want to earn, we constantly want to deserve things, we grasp at understanding, we struggle with understanding Your grace. And Lord, we want to ask You, by Your Holy Spirit, to continue to open our minds and our hearts to understand and lay hold of grace. We thank You that Your grace has been freely given through Christ. We thank You, Lord, that You've brought us to a place of understanding that there's nothing we can do to earn it or deserve it, but that we can freely receive it when we reach out to Christ. And Lord, I want to ask for each one of us that are here today. And Lord, You are touching our hearts. You are dealing with our hearts right now. There's some of us that need to take this initial step. We need to say yes to Jesus. We need to open our hearts to Him and receive this grace that forgives us and makes us into a righteous one. I want to pray for them this morning, right now, Lord. If you're here today and you sense God tugging at your heart, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. If you sense God touching you, that you would raise your hand, and I want to pray for you right now. Is there anyone else? Amen. Amen. I'd like to pray for you right now. And as I pray, if you'll just open your heart, the Lord will continue this good work He's begun in you. Lord, I pray for these that are asking to comprehend and receive your grace in their lives. And Lord, I thank you that this is miraculous, that only your Holy Spirit can soften a hard heart, such as each one of us has, to be able to understand our need for grace and to actually begin to receive it. So I thank you for these, Lord. And I pray as we celebrate grace today in these communion elements, that it will become more and more real to us. And those of us that daily struggle with understanding grace in our lives, Lord, that this will strengthen us. As your word says, that we will be strengthened with grace. Each one of us, Lord, in these quiet moments, we reach out to you. We want to receive your grace, and we want to thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.